Well, we began a series on Psalm 119. So this is a great adventure. It's going to take a few weeks to get through the whole Psalm. And this is our second sermon in that series. And I'm going to read for us Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16, the second paragraph or stanza, as we sometimes call it. So verses 9 through 16. Hear the word of God. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Let me pray. Father, thank you again for your word. And indeed, we pray that you would not let us wander. We pray that we would not forget your words. And do that, Father, as we delight in you and seek you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This week was my third kid's birthday. He turned 12. So during breakfast, I asked him, Andy, how can a young man keep his way pure? He looked puzzled. Obviously, he hadn't read that one. He didn't know the answer. But my father-in-law was there in the room with us, visiting from Chile. He's 67 years old. And right away, he was able to give the answer from memory. By guarding it according to your word. I was just a beautiful picture of, well, that's what I want my young men and women to be. To grow old, just internalize the word of God in such a way that it's just at the tip of the mouth. So that they'll be able to declare it. That's one of my hopes for us even today. That we would continue to grow, guarding our ways according to his word. The passage, as I've just said, starts with a question. And I'll repeat the question. How can a young man keep his way pure? And this question and this verse in general sets the rest of these verses and maybe even the whole psalm, all of Psalm 119, just set up by this question. The psalmist's primary interest is that the young man may keep his way by guarding it according to God's word. Now, this is a verse young men definitely need to consider. But is this verse only intended for young men? What about older men or women? John Calvin clarifies for us that in mentioning this young men, the psalmist by no means gives an unbridled license to those who have arrived at mature years, very politically correct, or who are aged as if they were competent to regulate their own life, and as if their own prudence served as law to them. So maybe the psalmist is applying this to young men because that is indeed an age in which many decisions and habits form the life of the older self. However, this is not so much about those reckless young men as if the psalmist was speaking to others when he's writing these verses. This is actually about him, about the psalmist. The psalmist asks the question probably because he is a young man when he prays through these verses. So, as we apply this prayer to ourselves, it is entirely appropriate to say, for example, how can a man approaching middle age, because I'm not that old yet, keep his way pure? Or how can a fill in the blank keep his or her way pure? Good thing he gives us the answer right here in verse 9. Did you see that? How is it that we keep our ways pure? It's by guarding it, by guarding the way according to your word. This, though, still begs the question. How does one guard his or her way according to God's word? I believe the rest of this passage, maybe even, again, the rest of the psalm, gives us an expanded explanation. Sure, a very long expanded explanation, but all of Psalm 119 is not just about the Word of God, but about how to walk in the Lord and keep our way pure before Him according to His Word. Especially in the midst of difficulties, temptations, whatever the case may be. In these verses, at least, this is how we guard our way according to His Word. We seek the Lord wholeheartedly by delighting in His Word. Again, we seek the Lord wholeheartedly by delighting in His Word. So the psalmist describes first how he guards his way. The psalmist seeks the Lord. And again, wholeheartedly. Look at verse 10 again. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Note that here he's not seeking God's word. He's not seeking God's blessing. He's not seeking God's forgiveness. He says, I seek you. He seeks the Lord. The psalmist desires to enjoy God's presence, to be with Him, to know Him personally. This is not just investigating, learning, studying about God or studying His Word for mere knowledge's sake. Sure, knowing about God and His Word is important. But as J.I. Packer in his great book, Knowing God, he reminds us, if you look back to Psalm 119, you will see that the psalmist's concern to get knowledge about God was not a theoretical, but a practical concern. His supreme desire was to know and enjoy God Himself. And he valued knowledge about God simply as means to this end. He wanted to understand God's truth in order that his heart might respond to Him and his life be conformed by Him. So when we come to this psalm through this series of sermons or in our daily Bible reading or Bible studies, whatever the case may be, we come to meet God, to know Him in the person of Jesus. Jesus Himself said to the religious leaders of His day, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they, the Scriptures, that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." May we heed his warning. Let's not just search the Scriptures, let's seek him in the person of Jesus as we come to His Word. And let's do it wholeheartedly, as the psalmist does. Psalm 119 encourages us to seek God with our whole heart. And by heart, the psalmist does not mean mere emotions, though that's definitely included, but he refers to the whole self. I was discussing this psalm with a friend this past week, and he noticed all the body language and terms in just these few verses. Heart, of course, verse 10 and 11, but then lips, eyes, God's mouth, etc. Poetically, the psalmist is signaling that the whole self is involved in seeking the Lord and delighting in His Word. And again, the question is how to keep our way pure and guard God's Word. We do it with complete devotion and dependence. He, the psalmist, seeks and prays. Look again at verse 10. In a sense, he's acknowledging his weakness and need for direction. Verse 10, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander, W-A-N-D-R-D-E-R, from your commandments. Again, it's devotion and dependence. Seeking Him wholeheartedly and asking that He not let us wander from His commandments. The Psalm 119, ends with that confession and prayer like this one, verse 176. This is how the psalm ends. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. So the psalmist begins declaring that he seeks the Lord and ends asking for the Lord to seek him. So the whole psalm, from beginning to end, is a plea to keep this relationship, to keep his way pure, because he's probably tempted to wander away. And back in verse 11, he insists on the importance of our heart commitment for holiness. Did you see that? Verse 11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. He stores, he hides, he treasures God's words in his heart with the specific goal of not sinning against him. Again, his relationship with God is at stake. He must treasure God's word if he's going to keep his way pure. The word translated word in verse 11 is not the same word as the word word in verse 9. Now that's a mouthful. The word word is not the word word. Let me rephrase. The term translated word in verse 11 is translated promise almost every other time in the rest of the psalm. It means speech or saying and refers to something the Lord has promised or declared. As another author writes, God's word becomes his sweet promise, able to renew and sustain the believer. It's worthy of meditation, and it includes salvation. Don't have to go there, but in verse 41, he says, let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Or verse 123, my eyes long for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. So we can read Psalm 119, verse 11, like this. In my heart, I have stored up your promise. This is one of eight terms The psalmist uses throughout the psalm to refer to God's word or instruction or statutes, promise, etc., testimonies. So in a way, all these words communicate the same thing, but these words also complete or complement each other and reminds us of different aspects of God's word. And promise especially reminds us of His grace, His God's disposition towards us. This word is about His love manifested in the expected Savior. A reminder that we love God because God loved us first. A reminder that His promises are powerful to keep us from wandering. It is said that when D.L. Moody, the Chicago evangelist, gave away Bibles, he wrote in the covers, "Either this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book." The phrase is also attributed to John Bunyan, the author of The Pilgrim's Progress. Or as Spurgeon once said, "A Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't." The psalmist values God's word and wants to treasure this promise precisely because he values God and wants to honor Him. Verse 12 confirms how valuable God is for him in words of praise and prayer. "Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes." So the psalmist praises God and asks the Lord to teach him His word, His statutes. Just like in verse 7 in the previous passage, praise and learning are combined. "I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules." So worship is the goal of learning. As a psalmist, we keep our way pure and guard His word by seeking God wholeheartedly, but making the knowledge and relationship with God our most precious treasure. And we also keep our way pure by delighting in God's word. Or better, we seek the Lord by delighting in His word. In verse 14, the psalmist writes that he delights or rejoices in the way of His testimonies. And in verse 16, that he delights or enjoys His statutes. The term for delight in verse 14 and 16, which is, again, the word delight in the ESV at least. Again, two different words, but they communicate similar ideas. The ideas of pleasure and joy in God's word. His heart, His affections are very much central to His own disposition towards the Lord. But note how these affections lead him to the life of the mind. Listen again to verses 14 through 16. "In the way of your testimonies, I delight or rejoice as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight or enjoy in your statutes. I will not forget your word." So he speaks of delight, meditation, and delight again. Affections and convictions, heart and mind go hand in hand. Without the heart, there is no motivation for the mind. Unless we love God and treasure His word, we will have little to no reason to dedicate time intentionally meditating on His precepts. Sometimes we put a lot of emphasis on studying the Bible, and rightly so. But if the desire to know God and enjoy His presence is not there, then you'll find it very difficult to spend time in His Word. And even less to, or I mean, even more difficult to persevere in a lifelong commitment to our way. So having biblical convictions is essential to the Christian life, but having biblical affections for Jesus and the Word of God is what will drive us further and deeper in our relationship with Him, to honor Him, and in our relationships with others. The affections of the heart direct the will, not the knowledge of the mind. Or just think how many times you've done something you know you shouldn't do, but you do it anyway because you want to do it. Or vice versa. How many times you don't do what you know you should do, but you don't do it because you don't want to. As John Owen writes, "Now, once Christ appears to the soul, when He is known in His excellency, all these things, as without Him, have their paint washed off, their beauty fades, their desirableness vanishes, and the soul is not only contented to part with them all, but puts them away as a defiled thing, and cries, in the Lord Jesus only is my righteousness and glory." He continues and writes, The glory of His deity, the excellency of His person, His all-conquering desirableness, ineffable love, wonderful undertaking, unspeakable condescensions, effectual meditation, complete righteousness, lie in their eyes, ravish their hearts, fill their affections, and possesses their souls. Or in the words of Paul, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. We have to make Him our utmost desire and delight if we're going to spend time meditating in His Word. Now, meditation is a concept that might get some uncomfortable. When the psalmist is speaking about, or Bible speaks about meditation, this is not the Middle Eastern practice of spiritual techniques in order to reach our innermost self. Nor is it the overly sacramental religious ritual that elevates you to the otherworldly sense of holiness. Nope. Christian biblical meditation is encouraged, especially right here in the Psalms. We are instructed to meditate about 20 times in the Psalms, 8 of those in Psalm 119. Meditate, meditate, meditate in His Word. Psalm 1, verse 2. The blessed man delights in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night. Psalm 19. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Or God commands Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. So in scriptures, meditation is closely related to the heart and to God's word. Christian meditation is about devotion to God and responding to His word in worship. It's about reading carefully, reading prayerfully, slowly, praying as we read, memorizing, singing the truths of God's word over and over again to internalize them and live according to them. In short, to guard our way according to His word, we need to delight in it. Verse 15 actually specifies in somewhat of a poetic way what meditation is. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. To fix our eyes, to intently seek the Lord by delighting in His words. So how can we keep our way pure? Seek the Lord by delighting in His word. Maybe you're not a Christian, or you're not sure you really delight or even want to delight in God's word. Maybe you have a list of objections or apparent contradictions to this book. Let me suggest that if you spend time reading passages of Scripture, I'm convinced that you'll come to appreciate who God is and what He has done for those who put their trust in Him. Or if you have friends or family, neighbors that are not seeking the Lord wholeheartedly, invite them to consistently read the Bible with you. You'll be amazed of how they will realize the wonders of God in the person of Jesus. And hopefully, if you are a believer, you will spend time reading your Bible daily. If you don't, well, don't wait any longer. There is incredible motivation in the person of God. And it is hard sometimes to maintain the discipline, especially on a busy schedule or a tired body. I'll be the first one to admit that. But getting into the habit is incredibly rewarding. Of course, the recommendation usually is to read through the Bible in a year. But the question is not how much you read, how many minutes a day, or how many chapters, but how much you guard it. As you read, did you seek the Lord wholeheartedly by delighting in what you're reading? Did you store it up in your heart? Are you rejoicing and enjoying God's word as you meditate? A good diagnostic is verse 13. The psalmist says, "With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth." Are you declaring God's word after coming out of it? Are you meditating on them? Kent Hughes defines meditation as personalizing and internalizing a segment of the word. So personalizing and internalizing a segment of God's word. So how can we do that? Well, here are a few ideas for you. First one, learn Greek and Hebrew. You smile and laugh, but if you have time or the resources, take advantage of those. Bernie and I and our family moved here from Chile, and Bernie, my wife, was used to read her Bible in Spanish. And some years ago, she told me, it's amazing how reading the Bible in a different language is just so much enriching because you have to think, meditate more carefully about what you're reading. Imagine how much you enjoy the Greek and Hebrew. Memorize the Word of God. Maybe you've memorized some verses, but maybe even longer passages of Scripture. Something like, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I've stored it up in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Or like my father-in-law, just at the tip of his mouth, it was there. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Longer passages of Scripture, as you read and reread to memorize those, you'll just enjoy them more. You'll just think, you place your mind more intentionally on those. And man, those will come handy when you're praying for others, sharing, declaring the word to others as well. So memorize verses or longer passages of Scripture. And during breakfast, our kids have been memorizing, or some of them more than others, have been memorizing the verses of the Gospel Now bookmarks. So you've seen those. Well, we take them home, and we read them and reread them over breakfast time, and we ask them, well, have you memorized those? And some of them do, and they are just excited that they feel rewarded that they've done it. But for me, it's more important than what I want from them is that when they turn, God willing, 67, they'll still remember them. Pray the word. Pray the word. I don't know if you've heard of that. I first came across this idea in Chile in a preaching workshop. Someone who had been with John Stott said, I learned this from him. And he was leading the group, and he said, this is what we'll do. We'll read a phrase from a verse, and then we'll pray that verse over several things. Things like, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. So I pray, Father, that I may keep your word. I pray for my children that they will be able to guard their way pure according to your word. I pray for College Church. I pray that as we listen week after week or get together in Bible studies or in our own Bible reading, I pray that this church will guard their way pure. And then you carry on. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. So Father, please forgive me that I have not seek you with my whole heart. And you pray for that. And you can pray that God will forgive others for the same thing, or that, again, your family, your friends, etc. And then you move to the next phrase and you pray over that, etc. And you can do that, you can do that individually, personally, in your own devotional time, or in a group, in your Bible study, your small groups, your family. Pray the word. Meditate on it daily. Whatever it is, do it in a way that awakens your affections. For some of us, it might be, you know what? Put music on, Christian music, hymns or songs, Christian songs that you enjoy. Use those to awaken your heart, to delight in the Lord and in His Word. Sing those songs, memorize those. Incredible resources in this church alone, and many more to enjoy and sing and delight in God's Word, to seek Him by delighting in His Word. Journaling. I don't know if you keep a journal, but it helps me so much when I'm praying to write my prayers. It helps me not wander and be distracted. And write down, copy those verses down. It's another great practice just to meditate. How? Well, write it down, copy it over and over again. Another good way of memorizing. Whatever it is, again, awaken your affections. And your mind will follow. And your will follow. So we'll seek the Lord by delighting in His Word. That's how we'll keep our way pure. Let's pray. Blessed are You, O Lord. Teach me Your statutes. Indeed, we bless You. We praise You. We thank You for all You've done for us, and that You've registered all these promises for us. Teach them to us, that we may seek You with all our heart, that we may store them up in our hearts to guard our way, to honor You, to worship You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.